It's early on a Sunday morning, so you know what that means. Once again, grinders, it is our time. This is the Sunday Morning Grind Podcast. Josh Taylor, Greg Finley, joining me, Alice, as always. Episode number 30. And Greg, we have dubbed this one. I couldn't think of any other number when the realization of number 30 came. One number, one name popped into my head. This is the Chad Scott episode, is it not?
It has to be the Chad Scott episode.
And that is all due respect to James Conner. But we go for the obscure name, not the obvious name.
We also like to go for the 90s name, I've noticed.
The 90s names are more fun.
Yeah.
Because people have to kind of think back and be like, oh yeah, I remember that dude. So, you know. Which, by the way, I'd like to add, no one has taken advantage of our giveaway from episode 29.
Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed in the grinders.
I'm really disappointed. All you guys have to do, and I'm going to say this again, listen to episode number 29. Tweet the show at Sunday MORN Grind with the correct spelling of Chidi Iwoma, because episode 29 was the Chidi Iwoma episode of the podcast. Tweet the show Sunday MORN Grind with the correct spelling of Chidi Iwoma, and you will get a free copy of Pittsburgh's Civic Arena.
We've got 14 plays on episode 29 and nobody's tweeted us.
No one's tweeted
and
us.
I put out a tweet the other day saying, hey, we still got this giveaway. And I guess people don't like to read, but I started reading that book. I love it.
Pittsburgh,
it's a good book.
Thank you, sir. Pittsburgh Civic Arena. You're surely one of about maybe a dozen co-authors on that book. Whole bunch of stories about the old Civic Arena.
I read your chapter about Pitt basketball. Very enjoyable.
Pitt basketball in 02.
Yeah,
that 02 tournament. And that was really cool because if you're a Pitt fan and remember that time period, you probably remember it as the year that they lost to Antonio Gates. And you wouldn't be wrong, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about the two games leading up to that when they won the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament, but they just happened to play those first two rounds inside the Civic Arena, which is why it was such a cool event. So, yeah, check that out. Plus, plenty of Penguin stories. There's Pittsburgh Spirit stories in there. There's other college basketball stories, one of which I wrote. There's stories about the Pittsburgh Condors, Pittsburgh Pipers, which I also wrote about Connie Hawkins. There's stories about boxing in there. There's stories about wrestling in there. My guy Bob Healy did an outstanding job with the wrestling and boxing chapters. Check out all of it. It's a really good book. Now that we got that out of the way. And oh yeah, by the way, don't forget, listen to episode 29. Tweet the show, correct spelling of Chidi Iwoma, former Steelers defensive back and special teamer. Tweet us the correct spelling. You get a free book. It's that simple. It really is that simple.
It is.
All right. Let's move on. We got business to conduct here. Now, going into last week's show, we had our hot sheet picks. The Steelers, correct me if I'm wrong, were -5 against Seattle?
5.5.
5.5-point favorites against Seattle. Well, the final score of that game was 23-20. The Steelers didn't win in overtime, but they won by only 3 points. We have to talk about what we saw last week. What?
A lot of things that I got to get off my chest.
In the world. Go first. I'll give you the honors.
All right. 14-0. We're sitting there. We're texting.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're looking like they should against a depleted defense, a depleted offense with Geno Smith at quarterback. Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf aren't doing anything.
They were non-factors.
Defense is buzzing. Fine. Pete Carroll comes out at halftime and says, we need to run the ball more. People on Twitter start laughing about that because they go, wait, they're down 14-0. Why would they run the ball more?
And you know how I feel about a two-possession lead in the football game.
Yes. So what did they do? They run the ball more. And the Steelers went full-blown, I don't know how to make a tackle anymore, in the third quarter.
They weren't prepared for it.
It was unreal. Now, credit to Seattle. They saw what side Cam Hayward was on, and they said, we're not running on that side.
We're not running to him.
We'll run the other way. And to their credit, Alex Collins did a good job staying away from Cam.
Alex Collins, woo pig.
I know.
There's that.
But my goodness, how many times are they going to drop two safeties thinking maybe they're going to throw it this time? No, they're going to run the ball until you stop it, and the Steelers never stopped it.
They went to passing looks and ran the ball. And the Steelers had no answer. And they ran away from Cam Hayward, the only guy who probably could have made it a little bit tougher. And honestly, there's only one other guy on the Steelers roster that could have made it tougher, and that's Tyson Alualu, and he's not coming back this year. And they made that defensive line and that second level look like they were playing high school. It was nuts.
Josh, there's one thing that you have to do when you're playing a quarterback like Geno Smith, and that's make him beat you.
Yes, and they couldn't do it.
They let the running backs control everything. They were killing clock. They were having long possessions. They were running up and down the field. The Steelers couldn't do anything in the third quarter.
And my thought process is, you're up by 14 points. They are showing passing looks. I get that. But why are you dropping two safeties back? If they've run the ball so successfully at first, okay, start playing as though they're going to keep running the ball. Maybe I'm just thinking like Nick Saban mode. But would cover one robber have killed you?
I think that's what they tried in the fourth quarter, and it worked.
It's like, and by then, it's like, it's too late.
It was too late, way too late.
Cover one robber won't kill you in the third quarter, especially when you're up two scores. Like, try something. They could not make any kind of move to really counter it, and it did not help that guys were just flat out missing tackles. Devin Bush has been getting barbecued around these parts in the last 6 days or so. He has been getting smoked.
I mean, not in his defense, but in people's defense that are going after him, that one play where he just ran right past the running back.
Oh, God.
What? Where are you going? The ball is that way. I mean, that was really, really bad. And when he picked up the fumble and started running the wrong way.
Oh, yeah.
That was really, really bad,
totally
too.
Almost little Giants did. That's not what you want. But here's the part that confuses me. Because there was a lot of miscasting of Devin Bush in the first few games of the season. Where is he? He's not making splash plays. Well, you also didn't hear him getting beat a lot in coverage either. So clearly he was doing his job. However, when it comes to the run game, now the criticism's fair. Now the criticism is open because, yeah, you're there to make those plays and you still don't make them. So it's one of those things I'm like, well, the other 5 weeks of the season, I would have told you were crazy. This part's true. This part makes sense. I have a theory about this. I don't know if Devin Bush is 100%. I don't know if he is. And remember, he's already been dinged up a couple times this season.
And he came off a huge injury last year.
I don't know if he's 100%.
I don't think he is.
But they also
can't afford to not play him.
Right, because it's like, and I keep hearing, we'll put Spillane in. Robert Spillane is going to get smoked anytime you throw the football.
There's a reason why Bush
is in certain downs. There's a reason why Schobert's in on certain downs. And there's a reason why Spillane is in on certain downs. Most of the downs that they would need guys in there, you can't use Spillane because he will get torched. So you got to go with what you have, which comes back to what I've been talking about for quite some time now. We knew what this defense was going to be once Ryan Shazier's injury came and he left. We knew, hey, you got to get better at inside linebacker. Now, credit to the Steelers. They've been trying to do that. They've been trying to upgrade. Drafted Devin Bush, they traded for Joe Schobert, and they're trying to give Robert Spillane a shot. And Vince Williams, you know, probably the best addition by subtraction they can find, retired because he couldn't do much in coverage either. He did less than Spillane does. So they had to do something. Now, I can make the case, and I've been wanting to make this case for a while. The very draft after Ryan Shazier got hurt, that was 2018. You know who was on the board when the Steelers drafted in 2018? Darius Leonard was there. They could have drafted Darius Leonard, and they didn't. Darius Leonard played at South Carolina State, same school that Javon Hargrave went to. So you went and saw Hargrave. You knew Hargrave was there. You didn't go back to South Carolina State to think maybe you want to take a look at Darius Leonard?
Well, the Colts did.
Colts did.
They were very happy with him.
He led the league in tackles as a rookie?
Yeah, he was very good.
So that was a missed opportunity. My thing is, you know, if you draft a Darius Leonard, you might not need a Devin Bush. Just food for thought. But circling back to what we've been talking about here, their inability to stop the run became a problem, and then it opened up the ability for the Seahawks to throw the ball. Because now you got to overcompensate on one side and open up something else. But I can't put it all on the defense.
No, you can't.
You can't have a 14-point lead at halftime and then come out in the second half with your offense and do this. Let me see here. Field goal, punt, fumble. Oh, excuse me. Field goal, punt. Trying to find it here. Trying to make sure I got this correct. Field goal, punt, fumble. Punt, field goal. That was every Steelers drive in the second half.
Yes.
You scored two touchdowns in the second quarter and built up a 14-point lead that your defense helped you secure. And then you did them no justice by scoring 6 points the rest of the game.
Against that defense.
Against that defense. And they outscored you in the second half 20-6 after you outscored them 14-0 in the first quarter. How long has Mike Tomlin been talking about playing complementary football?
Long time.
The defense cannot do the job by itself. They kept the other team from scoring an entire 30 minutes of football so you can build a 14-point lead. All you had to do was make sure they didn't outscore you the rest of the way. And if the defense did allow some points, then the offense has to answer in kind by scoring points. Seattle scored a couple touchdowns in that second half. All you had to do was respond in kind by scoring a couple touchdowns. Not fumbling, not punting twice, once on a three and out, and not two field goals. Getting touchdowns. Especially when the other team knows that you have the ball and they want to get it back from you. And they still couldn't score points. So I can't put it all on the defense. Because the thing is, in the third quarter, yes, Seattle got the ball and immediately scored a touchdown. Well, what did the Steelers do? They answered with a field goal.
Yep. And then Seattle puts up another touchdown.
And they put up another touchdown.
And now it's a ball game. I mean, you're up 14-0 at halftime. Your defense is pitching a shutout. But your offense hasn't done it. Your offense did nothing in the first quarter. Your offense did nothing in the third, did nothing in the fourth.
And after that second touchdown Seattle scored, what do the Steelers do? They go 3-and-out.
Yep. Well, my problem is I'm looking at this log, this game log. Najee Harris ran the ball 24 times in that game. He also caught the ball 6 times in that game.
That's 30 touches.
That's 30 touches for your running back. Now, granted, he had 81 yards on the ground. That's about 3 yards per carry. And he had 46 yards in the air at 7.7 per reception. But where is Chase Claypool? Where's your deep threat? He's non-existent.
And he did not acquit himself at all. There was just bad responses to balls he tried to make plays on.
He got offensive pass interference on one play because he shoved the guy, and then he looked like he was confused, but he also caught the ball out of bounds. He didn't get his feet in anyway.
He went through all that to not even catch the ball.
Yes!
It's just,
James Washington, they're like, oh, they'll be okay if Juju doesn't play, but they got James Washington. He didn't do anything either.
Which we later found out was injury-related.
Yeah, I mean, Deontay Johnson is a stud for this team, but that's all they got right now.
And he can't do it all by himself.
No, and defenses are going to figure that out. They're going to go, all right, let's make Claypool beat us, because Claypool's not done anything yet.
And when your offense doesn't have teeth, especially in the passing game, what are they going to key on? What are they going to center in on? Your run game.
Yeah.
And they're going to take it away from you. And that's exactly what they did.
Yep.
So, and after all that, when you're in that position, which is why I always look at people now when they say, oh, you got the lead, run the ball. Everybody in the stadium knows you're running the ball. Mm. You have to have a balanced attack. You have to make them respect the pass in order to run the football. And what's the best way to do that, Greg?
Play action.
What don't the Steelers like doing?
Play action.
What are they the absolute last in the league at doing?
Play action.
So what are we talking about?
We're talking about the disappointment that is this offense. I mean, it comes down to the point. We talked about this last week. I said, they beat Denver, which I didn't see coming. You did. I said, Josh, there's no way they're going to look bad against this Seattle team, against that defense, and against that quarterback. And they made me eat my own words because they look really bad.
Well, technically, you were right for the first half. For the first half, you were right. And in overtime, you were right. It was the third and fourth quarters. That was it.
And that's what a football game is, though. It's not just one quarter. I mean, the first quarter, they couldn't do anything. The third quarter, all they could do was get a field goal and give up 14 points. And the fourth quarter, they let Seattle go down and tie the game.
And they kicked the field goal to take the lead, but then they let him come back and tie.
Yes.
So it was like, well, that was a wash.
And the only reason they won overtime is because T.J. Watt did T.J. Watt things. They gave the ball right back to Seattle.
Pay that man. They did the right thing. If you were one of those people who's still sitting there saying they shouldn't have paid TJ Watt.
Yes, they should have.
Stop watching football. It's not your thing.
They should have paid him more.
Greg, true story. I swear this happened. Earlier that day, I was at my godson's baptism. Mm-hmm. My godson, JJ, Jonah Bishop Allen Jr., was just baptized this past Sunday. I was there with my wife and my friend Jonah and his wife Kat, and congratulations to them. Another friend that was there for the baptism. We start talking. She's like, "What do you think Steelers going to do tonight?" I'm like, "They'll win." "So you think so?" I'm like, "Yeah, Seattle's terrible." She's like, "Well, the Steelers are bad." I'm like, "They're not as bad as Seattle without Russell Wilson." She's like, "You think so?" I'm like, "How much football do you really watch?" There are people who think the Steelers are one of the worst teams in the league. I can name you 10 teams now off the top of my head that will pick over the Steelers in the draft next year. They will pick ahead of the Steelers because they're that bad.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even think people realize, and this is something I brought up. I think I brought this up at the barbershop the other day. I'm like, do y'all realize that there are whole divisions? Like, there are divisions that almost have, there are divisions that have like two or three teams with fewer wins than the Steelers.
Yeah.
Like, there are whole divisions that seriously three teams have fewer wins than the Steelers do. And you think they're going to be in position to draft a quarterback. But that's an entirely different conversation. I'm like, they're going to beat this team. And she's like, well, it's like, she's like, well, they better. TJ Watt better do something. I thought they paid him too much money. I'm like, do you watch what TJ Watt really does? She's like, yeah. I was like, you realize how much he's done it, right? She's like, what do you mean? I was like, you realize he has the third most sacks in the league since he entered the league. She's like, oh. I'm like, how do you sit there and not look up the information
before you make a blasphemous
before you make
statement
a ridiculous
like that.
Statement that you really have no basis for? And she's like, well, did they have to pay him that much? I'm like, actually, they got a discount for him.
Yeah, they should have paid him a lot more.
I was like, Joey Bosa is making more money than him. She's like, who's Joey Bosa? I was like, exactly.
All right, go away.
Exactly. You just proved my point. There are guys that do what TJ Watt's doing that make more total money in their contracts, including Joey Bosa. I'm like, just trust me on this. I was like, okay, let me put it to you this way. TJ Watt did in 2.5 games so far this season before he got hurt. He did 2.5 games. What some dudes that play his same position haven't done yet in 5.
Yes.
That's why they paid him. And that was before he took the field Sunday night and single-handedly took a game over by himself.
He literally called game.
Yes.
You know how we talk about how everything relates to Family Guy in life?
We do. All roads lead to Family Guy.
So, do you remember when Peter is getting pajamas and they're the ones that have the butt flap? He goes, sir, here is a check. Write any amount of number on this and I will pay it. That's what the Steelers should have done with TJ Watt.
Oh, my God. No, I understand that the sticking point in the negotiations was the guaranteed money because the Steelers don't like to pay out guaranteed money for guys who aren't quarterbacks. I get that. But he's your best player on your team. If you want to make a case that Cam's your best player, fine. We can have that discussion. I won't argue with you to an extent. But TJ Watt is the best player on your team, and he proved it again in overtime and in the fourth quarter. And that's why they won that game, because their best player made a play when they needed him to.
Agreed. So, bye week, 3-3 right now.
Which I said could happen, and it would be absolutely insane.
And I looked back at our predictions from way back before, like when the schedule came out when we started making predictions.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it was like at the preseason when we made our legit predictions.
Yes.
Both had them at 3-3.
Really?
But not the same results, because
Let me guess.
We didn't have them beating Buffalo.
We had them losing to Buffalo. We had them losing to Buffalo and beating
Cincinnati.
Beating Cincinnati. There you go.
Yep.
I figured that's what it was.
And I think we had them beating the Raiders, too, and losing to Denver.
Wow.
I think.
Wow.
I can double check that. But wow. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you look at this team at 3-3. If they lose that game on Sunday, they're 2-4. And you just lost to Geno Smith.
The
season is very close to the end of the line. I know it's only 6 games, but you lose a game like that, that really hurts. Now, you're 3-3, and Cleveland has a lot of issues going on right now.
Right. And if you're 2-4 going into that, you got to deal with Cleveland, whether or not they have issues. Granted, you face Detroit and Chicago immediately after, so you can get yourself back to .500, but the Cleveland game determines whether or not you stay there.
I mean, they could rattle off 4 in a row here.
Yes, it's
5,
possible.
5 in a row. They beat Denver. They beat Seattle. Now you're going to have Cleveland, who they could beat now with all these issues. I mean, if they don't have to play Nick Chubb or Kareem Hunt.
If they don't have to face either
advantage.
Of those guys and possibly not Baker Mayfield.
Or if it is Baker, he's not 100%.
Yeah, a banged up Baker Mayfield. You think they want TJ Watt chasing that guy?
Nope.
So
I like that. Yeah. And you got the Lions, and you got the Bears on Monday Night Football.
And you have the Bears and Lions both at home.
Yes. I love all of that.
The only concern I really have as far as the latter two opponents is maybe how their kneecaps look after the Detroit game. That's about it. I mean, how bad are your kneecaps going to get bitten while you're beating the Lions? That's really much the answer.
I mean, have they really bitten any kneecaps, though, the way they keep losing games?
I don't think they're good. I don't think they're good at football or good at biting kneecaps. I think that's the problem.
I mean, Dan Campbell's getting to the point now where, like, radio hosts are starting to love him because they feel so bad for how bad the team is. Like, this guy was crying. We feel bad for him. It's like, why? Coach for the Lions.
Didn't bite enough kneecaps.
This is what they sign up for when you take a job with the Lions.
The sad part is I actually could subscribe to the theory that if you're better at biting kneecaps, you might affect some people's ability to play football. I mean, only one or two guys, but it stands to be a decent theory. And they can't even do that right.
You know what's sad?
I'm going to harp on this every chance someone brings up the Lions. I'm going to bring up biting kneecaps because it's the dumbest damn thing I've ever heard.
You know what's sad? Urban Meyer picked up his first win of the year already.
And he didn't even have to bite a kneecap to do it.
He was getting torqued on, though.
He was getting torqued.
One foot out the door, one foot getting torqued on.
Yeah. Maybe that's the key. Maybe Dan Campbell should go get torqued on.
So
he's in Detroit. It ain't that hard to do. That's what I'm saying.
So looking ahead, and not going to get too far ahead, because we will break down Steelers, Browns next week.
We will.
But you look ahead now. You got the Browns on Halloween. That should be a win.
Yes.
If everything goes your way here with these injuries. I mean, no Kareem Hunt, no Nick Chubb, possibly, and possibly no Baker Mayfield, or if he plays, beating up Baker Mayfield.
You are in a much better position to win that game than you were probably 2 weeks ago.
Agreed.
Maybe even a week ago.
Chicago on Monday Night Football at home. Steelers play very well at home in prime time. I like that game for the Steelers. I think that defense will make Justin Fields uncomfortable.
I agree with that.
The Lions are the Lions. They should blow them out.
Assuming too many people's kneecaps get bitten, they should win that game.
Assuming that St. Brown for the Lions doesn't do amazing things.
Which one is that? Is that Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Yeah.
I love the St. Brown.
So then it gets interesting. You got Sunday Night Football in Los Angeles against the Chargers.
That's the tough one.
That's a big one.
That's a big one.
Then you've got the Bengals.
For the record, the last time the Steelers beat the Chargers on the road in a primetime game...
Monday Night Football?
That was the Monday Night Football Le'Veon Bell in the Wildcat game.
Yes.
That people in this town still got pissed about after the fact, even though it worked.
Stop.
Sometimes I hate this town.
Yeah, I know. That's ridiculous. Then you got the Bengals, who... The Bengals are starting to scare me.
On the road, no less.
And they already beat you here.
They already beat you here.
And then the gauntlet. Baltimore... The Vikings on Thursday Night Football.
On the road, which I don't like. I didn't like it before the season, and I don't like it now.
No, not at all. The Titans, who look bad when Julio is out, but look really good when Julio and A.J. Brown are playing.
And if you think stopping Alex Collins was hard.
Yeah, good luck.
Now you got to face Derrick Henry.
Did you see the video of Mike? Is it Micah Hyde for the Bills?
Yeah.
Literally just stood there and took one. Because Henry would have been gone.
Yeah.
I mean, he ran it up the middle for like 15 yards, and Hyde was like, all right, I got to stop him somehow. And he just stood there, and Henry pile-drived him into the ground. But that's how he tackled him.
He probably just hung on to him.
Yeah.
Which is what you got to do. Good for Micah Hyde, man. That's dedication. That's sacrifice.
All right.
That's what you
got to
do.
Then after Christmas, you got the Chiefs.
On the road at Arrowhead.
Their defense stinks, but their offense is really good. And you're going through that gauntlet, and it just worries me. I mean, some of these games that they've already lost are games that they kind of had to have.
Yes.
And now you're to the point you have to have at least these next three.
And they're important because they're AFC games also, which dictate where you could end up in the playoff race. That's important.
I mean, I say you gotta beat Cincinnati.
Yes, you have to beat Cincinnati because if you beat Cleveland, Chicago, and Detroit. And somehow knock off the Chargers, we're talking division contender again. So beating Cincinnati becomes even more important. You might pass them by doing so.
Well, the Bengals are playing the Ravens this week. Then they play the Jets. That should be a win. Then they play the Browns. So they're playing some AFC divisional games while you're playing cupcakes.
Yes.
So you better win them.
You got to gain ground while you can. Make hay. So
I think I think at best you got a split with everybody in this division.
If you
can get two from Cleveland, I'm all for it. But I don't know if you get two if you're playing them January 3rd when they're healthy.
That's usually one way you can not handcuff yourself, is if you split against your own division. If you lose four games or more, you're hurting yourself bad. If you split, you got a shot.
Then you have to win next week against Cleveland.
You got to beat Cleveland. I agree.
And you have to win at least one against Baltimore. And the Ravens look really, really good. We're going to go into NFL Remix in a second, but what they did to the Chargers on Sunday, oh my.
Here's why I'm not that surprised, because they played that game in Baltimore and the Chargers were coming from the West Coast, having to play on the East Coast.
Yes.
That is always a problem. I mean, it's very seldom that you see a team come from the West play in the East and dominate that well. So I kind of wasn't shocked by it. However, I did pick Arizona against Cleveland because I knew Cleveland had issues.
Yes.
But so, that's why. Baltimore at least is closer to full strength. At least, you know, for the most part.
So 3-3 at the bye week, feeling okay, right?
Par for the course for us, pretty much what we expected.
I mean, they look like they were going to be 1-5 after the Bengals game.
It was a possibility. And now, I say all that with the understanding that we hadn't seen the offense at its best yet. We had seen the defense at its best for one game.
Yes.
And then injuries happened and became a problem. But we hadn't seen the offense at its best yet. And then the week after, they got better, but they still weren't at its best. 2 weeks later, we saw them at their best. So it took a while.
And Ben said it would.
Yes.
Remember, he said this is a work in progress and it's going to get annoying and frustrating.
And it had to be a work in progress because you had a bunch of rookies on your offensive unit. Those guys were going to have a learning curve.
Yes.
I don't care who you are. If your expectations are they're supposed to just plug in and play well, I have to ask you, how long have you been watching football and what are you paying attention to? It's not that simple. You can't have rookies showing up here and expecting them to light the league up. It's not that easy. It very seldom happens that easily. So, yeah, we knew there would be growing pains, especially on the offensive side. Now, as far as the defense goes, I can't answer all of that. Because there were some plays in that Cincinnati game, and I'm going, so what happened here? What went wrong there? How did this happen?
Right.
And there's no explanation for it, and that bothers me. So, yeah, 3-3, given what we saw the up and down in four of those 6 weeks, I'm not complaining.
They have to take care of business off the bye. And bye weeks are not always kind to them.
No.
The game after a bye week.
No.
So you really got to get ready for this game for Cleveland.
But you got a division opponent that may not have its top two running backs, may not have its quarterback, may have one of its top receivers gone. And they have the exact same record that you do, or maybe a half a game worse if they lose tonight to Denver.
Is that in Cleveland? Is that in Cleveland or in Pittsburgh?
The game against the Browns, it is in Cleveland.
Okay. Gotta have it.
Gotta have that one.
The one thing that I've been looking at with our predictions for the beginning of the season, Baltimore has made us eat crow. They lose their running backs, they lose Marlon Humphrey, and they've had no problems.
I'm not sure if that's schedule, if that's them, or if that's luck, because I can make the argument that they should have lost two games.
Should have lost to the Colts.
Should have lost to the Colts.
Should have lost to the Raiders.
There you go.
So the Colts did Colts things, and the Raiders did Raiders things?
The Colts definitely did Colt things, and Baltimore was helped by the officials in that one.
That's
because
true.
That block kick was a legit, was it a block kick?
The forward lateral they called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a legit touchdown. They did their jobs. So I can make that argument. And which one did they win?
They beat the Raiders in overtime on Monday Night Football.
Was it the Chiefs with the field goal that was 70 yards? Or the 60-something yard field goal? Was that the
Chiefs?
No,
that was the Lions. That's right. They almost lost to the
Lions.
They
should have lost to Detroit.
Yes, that's
right. Detroit had them beaten.
That's right. So that's three games they should have lost.
Yeah, the delay of game that wasn't called against the Lions?
Yep.
The block kick that was legit, they called a fort lateral, and was actually a legit lateral pass. That should have counted as a touchdown against, because the Colts are up like three scores by then.
Yeah.
It's a three score game.
It's 22-9 at that point. Now it would be like 29-9.
Right.
No, you're right. I completely forgot about the Lions game.
I don't think we were as far off with Baltimore as we expected to be. It's just, you can make the case that Baltimore being a 5-1 team could be a 2-4 team.
Yeah.
That easily. That's all I'm saying.
No, you're right.
I'm putting that out there because there's three games that they could have lost. Sight unseen. We don't even have to go that deeper into it.
All right. You ready for NFL Remix?
Let's do it. I got the categories here in front of me.
All right. NFL Remix Week 6 edition.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Let's start with the team that impressed you.
It's got to be the Cardinals.
Absolutely.
Went into Cleveland, 4:15 in Cleveland. I mean, it's like 1 o'clock for West Coast teams, so it's not a huge deal. They played it at 4:15.
Right.
But they handled their business.
They did.
They did exactly what they were supposed to do as an undefeated team. And I don't know how many more times Vegas is going to make the Cardinals an underdog. How many more times are they going to keep handing us that? I mean, the Cardinals on the money line was easy money on Sunday.
See, that's your answer for team that impressed me. It's not mine, though.
Really?
It's not my answer.
Go ahead.
The team that impressed me was Tennessee.
Yeah, that's also on there
going
for me.
I mean, granted, they were at home, but they go off of the games that they've had. And there were games I thought Tennessee could have and should have won. But they faced the Bills, and they did the one thing they needed to do to beat the Bills. And that was, A, they controlled the line of scrimmage. They outrushed them 146-82. But then they only turned the ball over once. They did everything they needed to, and they came up with stops when they were necessary in order to win that game. And in the fourth quarter, they said, look, let's grind them down here, give the ball to Derrick Henry when they needed to, and he broke a 13-yard run for the game-winning score. That was the eventual game winner. They did everything they needed to.
And the defense made a big stop against Josh Allen when they needed to at the end of the game.
Yeah, and they completely shut them out in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So Tennessee's defense did what they needed to do at the exact time they needed. That impressed me.
It impressed. I agree with you on that. That was a game that the Bills were favored by 6 points.
Yep.
And the Titans just flat out won it.
And it was. Now here's the thing. Before the season, we probably look at that and say, "Oh, the Titans beat the Bills by 3 at home. No big deal." But then we saw the first 5 games of the season, and we're going, "Can the Titans even hang with Buffalo?"
The Titans lost to the Jets.
Right. And it's like, how did that happen?
Well, they didn't have Julio and they didn't have AJ Brown, but still, they shouldn't have lost to the Jets.
You shouldn't have lost to the Jets. Your defense should have been able to hold that off. For all intents and purposes.
That's what I'm saying.
Team that let you down.
Well, there were not that many upsets this week.
No, there weren't. I think you told me the entire 1 o'clock slate, the favorites won.
Yeah. All right. You know what? It was Denver. Denver losing to Vegas in a game at home in a week right after Gruden got let go.
Yeah.
You would think that Vegas wouldn't be ready for it, and they went into Denver and they took care of business and won the game.
That's a game you have to. And it doesn't help that you lost 4 turnovers in that game. That's the thing for me. That's why they lost it, honestly, because you're right. You're at home. Vegas has to come to you. Their coach has just gotten fired. You had every reason on earth to win that game. They had every excuse to lose it. And the crazy part is they only ran for 86 yards, did the Raiders. They threw for 341 yards and 2 touchdowns. They had no picks. They had no turnovers altogether. Denver had 4. Broncos let me down.
Yeah, Denver's been a disappointment ever since the Steelers game.
Absolutely. And that's the team that let me down. You and I agree on this. Team that did exactly what you expected them to do.
The Los Angeles Rams. They went into MetLife, and they came out of MetLife to win by 27 points. And they did exactly what I thought they would do. Some people were like, I don't know, Rams, 1 o'clock game, you know, that West Coast thing. I'm like, stop. It's the Giants.
My team that did exactly what I expected them to do, this answer might surprise you. The Arizona Cardinals. Mm. Did exactly what I expected them to do, which is go into Cleveland with a defense that, by the way, is 2nd in points allowed, 10th in total defense. I don't see why people are so surprised at Arizona being in there. We know what the offense is with Kyler Murray, but the defense gets very little credit for how good it is.
It is really good.
It's a really, really good defense. You got a strong defensive line. You got some really athletic guys at the linebacker position. You got some animals at the defensive back positions.
Well, anytime you add J.J. Watt to your defense, that's just helping everybody.
I mean, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm crazy. If your defense has J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones, you're probably pretty good.
Who they didn't even have on Sunday.
Right.
And they still
and they
took care
Jones.
Of business.
It's like, this defense is probably pretty good. That's not counting a Buda Baker. That's not counting a Jordan Hicks. They got guys that make plays. Jordan Hicks has 42 tackles and 3 sacks. Like, this is a defense that's actually pretty good. And I keep telling people, you know, if you have a good enough team where you can get points on offense and your defense is athletic enough, even if they don't do it consistently, but they can do it when you need them to do it, you're going to win games. That's exactly what Arizona's doing. They did exactly what I expected them to do.
Did you see how many sacks they got? They got 5 sacks against the Browns in that game. Baker was getting destroyed. No, I was stunned that the Cardinals were the underdog. You're undefeated. How many more times is that going to happen?
Here's the other thing for me. How many turnovers did Cleveland have? 3. How many turnovers did Arizona have?
0.
0.
There you go.
That's it.
And dominated time of possession by almost 10 minutes.
They did everything I expected them to do. 350 yards of total offense. They held Cleveland down to 3. They did everything they needed to do and everything I expected. Coolest play you saw?
I wasn't ready for that one. Oh, I got it. Aaron Rodgers. The touchdown against the Bears, and then he started yelling at the fans.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. Yeah.
That's a good one. It's hard to argue with that one. That is a good pick. I'm not going to go with that one, though. I'm going to go with Dallas.
Oh, yes.
In overtime.
Yes.
CeeDee Lamb, 35-yard touchdown catch from Dak Prescott, and then he waves to the defensive back in the end zone.
I was freaking out, dude. I mean, I come in back. I'm in the back here at work, and I'm watching that game. I got the Cowboys -4.5.
Okay.
Trying to stay calm. They got a pick 6. They're winning. Very next play, Kendrick Bourne touchdown. Like, yep. Oh, no. And then McCarthy kicks the field goal. They send it to overtime. Yada, yada, yada. CeeDee Lamb is showboating at the 2-yard line. I'm like, get in the end zone.
When CeeDee Lamb was that far open, I was like, all right, this game. It's done.
And better, Ben. I was like, get in the end zone.
But when you text me, you're like, I need a touchdown here. I'm like, they can do it in overtime. You're good.
It's Mike McCarthy, though. He kicks long field goals in overtime.
The best thing that's happened to Mike McCarthy in Dallas is having Dak Prescott.
Oh, my. Absolutely.
Having Dak Prescott makes your job a lot easier. Then again, he had Aaron Rodgers in his first gig, and we could have discussions about that. But, yeah, coolest play I saw was CeeDee Lamb in overtime.
I like it.
Weirdest thing you saw?
The weirdest thing I saw. How about the Jaguars winning a football game 23-20 against the Dolphins?
Why is every game that's played in London awful?
Oh, it's so bad. I mean, it doesn't help that they have horrible matchups. It's been the Jets and the Falcons, and it's been the Dolphins and the Jaguars.
They've been like every London game is terrible.
Yes.
They're bad.
It
kills me. Weirdest thing I saw had to be the thing in the fourth quarter with the Steelers and the Seahawks. I'm reviewing that play.
Oh, yeah.
Whether or not it was a catch.
We didn't even talk about that. I completely forgot.
I was glad we didn't because I wanted to save it for this discussion.
Yes.
That was the weirdest thing. Mike Tomlin had every right to be upset. Why are you ruling if that was a catch if the player later on fumbled in bounds after he had already dodged 2 tacklers? Then he fumbles in bounds and the teammate falls on it and you want to make sure it was a catch? Are you kidding me?
That was truly dumb.
That was absolutely ridiculous. I think Mike Tomlin has a point. And this is something else I want to point out. This is where I have to remind people that what coaches see and what you see at home on a television screen are not the same thing. When you're watching the game, you are looking at a view of the entire field with down a distance in front of you, with score in front of you, with time remaining, and the play clock, all in front of you, where you can see everything and it's all at your grasp. Coaches are looking at one thing, what's happening on the field. The score is not displayed in front of them, it's displayed around the stadium, but it's up above their sight line. It's around the bowl, it's around where the scoreboards are. They can't see that in their line of sight. They can't see the play clock. Why? Because it's at either ends of the field. Or maybe on the scoreboard. Once again, that are above their line of sight. But here was the argument. Inside the stadium, the clock said 0.
Yes.
So according to what Mike Tomlin can see, being a coach on the field, if that's what he sees on the field, what else is he supposed to go by? Well, we saw 1 second left on the broadcast. He's not watching what you watch.
Yes.
Remember, some of you are paying to see this. He's getting paid more money than most of you ever see to be on the field. You're not the same. You're not the same. So when he says they should have had an opportunity to set up to kick that field goal, based on where he was on the field, in his line of sight, seeing zeros on the scoreboard, he's got a legit case.
When the cornerback celebrated, I thought it was because Seattle didn't line up properly and it was illegal formation because, you know, they were rushing to get that ball spiked. So I thought it was a penalty. Then they come out and show all the zeros, but there was still 1 second left on TV. I go, okay, they have to fix this. There's 1 second left. But when they said we're reviewing the ruling on the field as if it's a catch,
I'm like, what?
What are we reviewing?
What are you reviewing? Why do you have to review that particular thing?
He caught it. He made a football move. He fumbled the football, and then they recovered it.
Now, if you wanted to say you wanted to challenge the spot of the ball because it was fumbled and someone fell on it, that I can understand.
Or if he stepped out of bounds before he fumbled it.
Right.
I would understand that,
Those
too.
Those are things I would understand. But reviewing the catch, why? Mike Tomlin had a legit beef.
He did.
All of it makes sense. It was the weirdest thing I saw.
That's a great answer. I'm mad I didn't think of it.
Three takeaways.
Wait, are we... What about team that let us down? Did we talk about that?
Yeah, team let us down. Mine was, yours was Denver. Mine was
Denver.
Oh, yeah,
we did cover that. You're right. Okay.
Was yours Denver?
Yeah.
Yours was Denver and mine was who again?
You also had Denver.
We both had Denver. That's right. Yeah. Okay, never mind.
Okay, so three takeaways?
Three takeaways.
Well, first of all, the 1 week I don't bet 1 o'clock games, every single favorite covered. I'm never not betting a 1 o'clock game again. Number two, teams and trying to cover the spread late in games is so frustrating.
Yes.
Tampa Bay and Philadelphia on Thursday Night Football, Nick Sirianni going for two, making it a 6-point game when the spread was 6.5. And Brady marches them down to the 5-yard line. Like, we'll just kneel it now. Game over. Oh, so frustrating.
Unbelievable.
And number three, this league is still really, really bad.
It's bad.
It's
the
really bad.
The league is bad.
I mean, people make that argument that the NFL is better than college football. Do you wake up at 9:30 for Jaguars-Dolphins unless you have money on it?
No.
Probably not.
I forgot they were playing.
Okay. I'm not waking up at 9:30 with my schedule. I go to bed at 5:30 in the morning. I'm watching that game?
The only reason why I was reminded that they were playing is because the Steelers had their... We had our pregame show on KDKA at 8:30. The only reason why I remember...
Because of that.
Because of that game in the morning.
There you go.
The only reason why I remembered it. Otherwise, I would have forgotten.
I mean, this league is so bad. I mean, we've talked about the guys on WFAN in New York before.
Yeah.
Every Friday morning, they do a segment called Cool Games and Not Cool Games.
Mm-hmm.
They rarely have more than three per week.
Here's a
question.
Because
these matchups are terrible.
Here's a good question for you. How many divisions in the league, and not looking at the standings, how many divisions do you think have teams with two wins or less?
Two wins or less?
How many divisions in the league have teams, have at least one team with 2 wins or less?
Every single one.
No. Six of the eight.
Okay.
AFC East, NFC East, NFC North, AFC South, NFC South, and NFC West. Only the AFC North and the AFC West have 0 teams with 2 wins or less. The two last place teams have 3.
That makes sense.
AFC East has 3 teams with 2 wins or less.
That's because the Patriots and the Bills have been playing flip-flop for a couple of years, but the Jets and the Dolphins still suck.
The AFC South has 3 teams with 2 wins or less. The NFC East has 3 teams with 2 wins or less. The NFC West has 2 teams with 2 wins or less. So there are 4 divisions. Is that 4? Yeah, 4 divisions with multiple teams with 2 wins or less. This league is terrible.
It is really bad.
When you keep telling me, the Steelers can draft a quarterback. When? They're going to pick in the high teens. Why?
They're not getting Matt Corral.
They're not getting Matt Corral. They're not picking in the... They're picking in the high teens. Why? Because a dozen teams are already worse than they are. And they're not going to pass them. They're not going to pick above the Jets. They're not going to pick above the Dolphins. They're not going to pick above the Eagles, Redskins, or Giants. They're not picking above the Lions. They're not picking above the Falcons. They're not picking above the Jaguars or Texans, and probably not the Colts. What's that, 10 teams right there?
Yep.
They're not even going to pick in the top 10.
No way.
The draft that Ryan Clark always talks about, they should have saved the first round pick to draft a quarterback. There were three good quarterbacks in that draft. Tua, Herbert, and Josh Allen. No, Tua, Herbert, and Burrow. Mm. All of them were gone in the first six picks.
Yeah.
Where are they going to pick and get a quarterback that they can change their franchise with?
Not going to happen.
Not where they're drafting.
No.
Not where they're drafting. Sorry.
Like, no, the league being terrible is hurting them. It hurts teams that are in the middle of the road.
I keep hearing the Steelers need to tank. Even if they tank, they won't get a top 10 pick. Because this league sucks. Sorry. You nailed that third one. My three takeaways. Number one, it appears the Rams aren't dead. Because they came back in a major way. The NFC West is far from being decided. The Cardinals are good, but the Rams aren't going away.
I think the 49ers are the worst team in that division, and I don't think a lot of people saw that coming.
And it's not even their own fault.
No.
They've had issues for like 3 years now with injuries.
I'm telling you, man, my prediction of four NFC West teams making the playoffs is still alive.
It's still technically alive. I don't blame you. That's one thing. The Rams aren't dead yet. Number two, it's over in the NFC East.
The Cowboys have this one locked up.
They have a 3-win lead after six games.
Yeah.
It's over.
It's over.
It's insane. And it's funny. The funny thing is my number three is the exact same thing as yours. This league's awful. Like, we'll just agree on that and move on. This league's terrible, man. This
look at these games, though. I mean, the Rams blew out the Giants. The Chiefs figured out Washington in the second half and blew them out. The Colts only gave up 3 points to Houston and won by 28. The Ravens blew out the Chargers. The Panthers and the Vikings both tried to lose, but the Vikings ended up winning. Those teams are all not good.
And not to get ahead of ourselves, because we have Hachi coming up. The Sunday slate. Bengals and Ravens could go either way. Mm-hmm. Falcons and Dolphins. What? Chiefs and Titans could go either way. Panthers and Giants. What? Jets and Patriots. We know who's winning that one. Washington and Green Bay. We know who's winning that one. Philly and Vegas. We know who's winning that one. Lions and Rams. Everybody knows who's winning that one. Bears and Buccaneers. We know who's winning that one. Texans and Cardinals. People on different planets know who's winning that one. Colts and 49ers. That one can go either way. That's also probably a what game, because, and that's really not even San Francisco's fault. Saints and Seahawks. We know who's winning that one.
I think we can make a parlay right now on this show.
Like, really?
No, you're completely right.
You can parlay just money line picks and clean up, because most of these games, we know where they're going. There's like three that can go one way or another.
I'm with you on that, man. That's my point. I mean, people that tell me the NFL against college football, and we can get into this another time, but college football at least has some marquee matchups every single week that keeps my attention. This league, I'm only watching NFL Red Zone for fantasy football purposes if the Steelers are not playing.
You know what else college football has the NFL doesn't? Good coaching. Good, innovative, creative coaching.
Yeah.
There are too many teams in the NFL that are trying to do what someone else is doing. And then there's even more teams that have no idea what the hell they're doing. None whatsoever.
College football also has Lane Kiffin interviews that I'm all for.
And they have Mike Leach interviews.
Yes. Like,
college football is so much. I'll watch NFL all day. You like watching bad football? That's awful. Give me Pac-12 after dark every night. You want Maction on Thursdays? Word, let's go. Yep. Give me Maction. I'll take Maction over some of these teams. What would you rather watch, a Mac game that scores 40 on each side or the freaking Lions play?
The Mac.
Give me Western Michigan over the Lions any day.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
The Lions are like the fifth team I'd watch play in Michigan. And I'm not even a Michigan fan and not watch them over the Lions. You know how overrated I think Michigan is.
Yes, I do.
I'd still take them over the Lions. Come on. I'd take Western Michigan, even without PJ Fleck, over the freaking Lions. And then again, they scored 40-plus against Pitt at Heinz Field, so clearly it was interesting.
You think they make us watch the Lions on Thanksgiving because nobody will watch them in the regular season?
They make us watch the Lions on Thanksgiving because no one else is willing to play every Thanksgiving. Otherwise, no one would watch the Lions.
My point.
I took the long route to get to that, but yeah, you're absolutely right. All right, let's take a break here. We come back. We got to play Is This a Thing? We haven't played this in a while.
Yeah, we're bringing it back with a bye week for the Steelers.
This will be fun. And then we got Hachi coming up. So we'll see you back here in a moment.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Grind podcast, a show where we talk about sports both on the Pittsburgh level locally, but also around the sporting world as well. We have a little fun with it, by the way, too. You can download the Sunday Morning Grind on iTunes, Google Podcast, Anchor, or Spotify, basically anywhere you get your podcasts from. Now let's get back to the show.
You hear the music, so you know what time it is. For the first time in a while, it's time to get crazy. It is time to play our favorite news headline game, Is This a Thing? Here's how it works. Greg and I, we go over certain topics, certain stories, certain discussions, certain things that may happen during the course of the week that cause us to ask the question, is this something worth paying attention to? Is this really worth our time? Or is this really more or less fake news? Is This a Thing? Is the name of the segment. We've got five topics that we've scoured throughout the course of the week. I think these are pretty good. For us not doing this for a while, I think we come back with a really, really good set of things to discuss here. Greg got the list. Give us the first one.
Well, it kind of helps that Twitter was just on fire this week with stuff to give us.
Yes,
I just kept texting. I was like, is this a thing? Is this a thing? And it's like, okay, we have to play it this week.
We have that discussion probably 12 times a week.
Yeah.
Even outside of the show. So there's that too.
Correct. Okay, number one. Karl Anthony Towns, Minnesota Timberwolves center.
Yes.
Apparently, well, not apparently, he came out and said in an interview when they asked him, Cat, what gets you fired up for a basketball game? His answer is watching gorillas fight each other. My only question is, watching gorillas beat each other up being the reason why Cat is as good as he is at basketball. Is this a thing?
It's got to be a thing. There's people that watch humans fight each other. So, yeah. I mean, gorillas fight each other. It's an interesting way to get yourself pumped up, but I'm pretty sure people watch it.
Here's the funny thing to me. They're in the locker room. Guys got their headphones on. They're jamming out. Cat's got his iPad, and he's watching gorillas fighting each other.
Could you imagine being the coach that walks by while he's watching gorillas fight each other, and you're like, you know what shoot-around's like in 10 minutes, right?
Don't worry, this fight will be over in like five. This guy's really giving him the business.
Suit two silverbacks is beating the crap out of him. Unbelievable. That I thought that was amazing. That's a great story. Unreal.
It's hilarious. I mean, it's about as Timberwolves as it gets because they got some weird guys on their team.
They do.
If you follow Timberwolves Twitter like I do, you see all this kind of stuff. But something like that, it's just hilarious. And the way he answered it, a reporter asked him, he goes, yeah, I just like to watch, you know, gorillas fight each other. They're like, what?
It is both funny and also slightly disturbing. Just throwing that out there.
It was a good topic, though, for the morning show on WFAN. They were loving it.
Yeah, I'm sure they would.
Well, the one guy was like, how come gorillas don't have to work out? And the other guy was like, because they don't eat pizza and cookies every day like we do.
They also swing on trees and have like natural upper body strength. Right. So there's that too. So they get workouts in, even indirectly.
All right, we'll move on. So we both agree that is a thing.
Oh, that's a thing.
And it's a hilarious thing. You think he ever runs out of videos? I mean, you think he just goes through YouTube and goes, all right, today I'll watch this one. Tomorrow I'll watch this one.
I don't know. Gorillas have been around for a while. We've been documenting how they live for a long time. Okay. So there's probably plenty to go off.
He's probably got a website or something.
That'd be nice if he did.
Gorillasfightingeacher.com.
That'd be some, make some money off of it.
All right, moving on. We'll stay with the Timberwolves. On Wednesday, opening night for the NBA, the Timberwolves were blowing out Houston, the Rockets. Anthony Edwards, also known as Ant-Man, was feeling it from downtown. He takes a three-pointer, buries it, signals timeout towards the other bench saying, you better call a timeout, I'm red hot right now. Anthony Edwards telling other teams to call timeouts because of what he's doing on the floor. Is that a thing?
Oh, it's a thing. And I'll tell you a story that proves it's a thing. Now, bear in mind, this is probably 30 years ago, more than 30 years ago. This is way back when UNLV basketball in the 90s, when they were just a juggernaut, when they were just a buzzsaw running through everybody, the Larry Johnson, Greg Anthony, Ramil Robinson days. Nolan Richardson's at Arkansas. He had just started there. He's trying to rebuild that program. He's facing UNLV. I want to say it's in the NCAA tournament, if I'm not mistaken. And UNLV is just mopping Arkansas. Just Larry Johnson, Stacey Augmon, Greg Ant, they're just destroying this team. And at one point, Larry Johnson looks over at the bench. He looks at Nolan Richardson. And very calmly, very, very sternly, and very matter-of-factly, looks at him and says, "You better go get you some men." Look Nolan Richardson dead in the face while his team was smacking Arkansas around and said, "You better go get you some men." So, yes, what Anthony Edwards did is a thing. Because it's been a thing for about 30 years, if not longer.
Oh, my.
That's a thing.
Sticking with basketball, your boy Drake.
What did he become, my boy?
Well, whenever we used to do this segment, Drake came up a lot.
Oh, because the Drake curse. We always talked about the Drake curse. Fair enough.
Drake is taking in Washington Wizards basketball against the Toronto Raptors.
Oh, God.
And him and Montrezl Harrell are going at it. I don't know what they were talking about, but they had some beef.
Okay.
So much beef that Montrezl Harrell got teed for him and Drake having a spat. The Drake curse causing technicals now on opposing teams. So I guess he's reversing the Drake curse for the team he roots for?
Technically.
Is this a thing?
It's a thing. It's actually a creative thing if you're Drake. It kind of makes sense. I mean, think about it. From the perspective of a guy who has been at every Raptors game, at least the home games, and is known for just being ridiculously obnoxious, the fact that he was able to rope in Montrezl Harrell is both hilarious and kind of creative. And it's a good way to reverse the Drake curse. So, yeah, I'll say it's a thing.
I wouldn't mess with Montrezl, though. He's a
big
dude.
That's a big man. Yeah. If it's Montrezl Harrell and Drake in the fight, we know who's winning. Drake security. They're winning the fight.
Correct.
But, yeah, that's a thing.
All right. We'll move on now to football. It's come up a couple of times now this week with LSU letting Ed Orgeron go at the end of the season.
Which is a story, man.
Yes.
Go look that up while LSU's letting Ed Orgeron go. It's a story.
That whole entire thing blew up after Burrow graduated. They were done after that.
True.
And USC being in search for a coach.
Because they let their coach go too.
Right. A name that's come up, Mike Tomlin. Is there any chance? Is this a thing?
This is not a thing.
Mike Tomlin to the NCAA?
This is not a thing.
No.
Mike Tomlin losing his job in Pittsburgh isn't a thing. People, stop asking me if Mike Tomlin's going to get fired. He just signed a contract 6 months ago that takes him through this season and the three following. He's not going anywhere.
No.
That's the first reason why this isn't a thing. The second reason why this isn't a thing, he's never been a head coach on the college level. Ever. He's been an assistant on the college level. A couple different places, Arkansas State, Memphis. Then where did he go after that? To the Tampa Bay Bucks after he was coaching on the college level. No. The third reason, and this is the most important, he's got a son at Maryland. He's got a younger son at Columbia. He's got a daughter that's close to college age. But they're all right now either on the East Coast or near the East Coast, including his wife. His whole family is on the eastern side of the country, off of the eastern seaboard. Why would you either move all the way across the country from coast to coast or down to the freaking bayou when your family is already spread out amongst the eastern seaboard and he's already a family-oriented guy? And those are the reasons that just make sense. No, this is not a thing. The first reason being the chief reason why. You're not going to turn down that kind of NFL money when you got three more years of paychecks coming. He's not going anywhere.
I feel like I was talking to Buzz from Home Alone with your reasons.
I should have given you A, 2, and D, and I totally missed that opportunity.
A, I'm not that lucky. Two, we have smoke detectors. And D,
we live on the most remotely boring street in the United States of America. Nothing even remotely dangerous will ever happen.
Period. That was good. No, Tomlin ain't going anywhere.
No, that's not a thing.
No way. All right, last one. I'm just going to let you tell this story.
Oh, great story. Okay.
Are you and Max Starks twins?
All right, here's the story. And this is not the first time this has happened, for the record. This has happened to me at least a half a dozen times. I am out. Technically, I'm having a work meeting with a couple guys. One, Matt Fargo, my longtime play-by-play partner doing high school football together. And also, Danger from Froggy. I think it's Froggy 94.9. It's a country station. I don't listen to it, but a lot of people do. So it's me, Fargo, and Danger from Froggy. We're hanging out. We're talking about some work-related stuff, another opportunity that might be popping up sometime soon. And there's a guy and his wife. They're sitting at the bar. And I have this thing happen, and I'm out a lot, and I know people will see me, and I don't like to assume they know who I am. So I try not to react when people are looking at me extended periods of time. Granted, it makes me nervous because I have one theory. If you're going to stare at me, either smile and wave or throw a punch. Otherwise, I don't know what the hell you're looking at. It makes me uncomfortable. But anyway, this guy saw me. Clearly, he recognized me from somewhere. So I'm trying not to make too much of it. He comes over from the bar and sits down and goes, "Mr. Starks, I got to tell you, it's really nice to meet you." I'm like, "I'm sorry, excuse me?" He's like, "Yeah, you do a great job on the radio." I'm like, and I didn't hear what he said at first. I'm like, "Oh, thanks." He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "You like being back in Pittsburgh, you know, after you're playing for the Steelers." I'm like, "Wait a minute, who did you think I was?" He's like, "You're Max Starks, right?" I'm like, he's 6 inches taller than me and had made way more money than I made. I appreciate that you think I'm a guy that's 6 inches taller and probably has more money in my pocket, but unfortunately, I'm not. He's like, "Oh, I'm sorry." I was like, "No, it's cool. It was fun to imagine being Mike Starks for about 30 seconds, so thanks for that."
Did you tell him who you were?
No, I didn't tell him who I was.
And he didn't know?
He didn't know. All he knew was that he thought I was Max Starks.
And so this has happened before?
This has happened. That's probably the 7th or 8th time that's happened. It's been at least a half a dozen times.
Do you tell your wife every time? You're like, "Another one thought I was Max Starks"?
I haven't told her this story yet because it happened literally just within the last couple of days. But yeah.
That's funny.
So it's a thing.
That's really funny.
Apparently, Max Starks and I are twins.
Have you ever met him?
In a direct capacity outside of actually covering the team? No.
Okay.
No. And I want to say he was gone before I came back as a reporter. So, actually, no. Even when I was a field producer, I think he was around for a little bit. But, yeah, I want to say by the time I was really, around the team every day, he was gone.
I think that's really funny.
Weird thing is, I want to say him and my brother follow each other on social media because they're in the same fraternity. They're frat brothers. So, they kind of have that same circle from when he was in Pittsburgh.
Hmm.
But, yeah. It's a thing. Me and Max Starks, me and twins.
Max Starks is your doppelganger.
Yeah. Apparently, I'm either that or I'm his, one of the two.
Right.
There you go.
All right. Time for Hot Sheet?
Time for Hot Sheet.
Oh, our Hot Sheet is not hot. All right, so we had the same picks last week.
Okay, so how did we do?
We went 9-4.
No kidding!
Yeah.
Wow.
It helped that Bucks, Eagles, when we picked it, the spread was 5.5. Yeah, and they won by 6.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I'll take it.
Because it was 6.5 whenever.
That's right, they went up before a kickoff game.
Correct.
Look at us being smart.
So,
jumping on the line.
Yeah, exactly. So, the ones we missed, the Dolphins losing to the Jags, because nobody would pick that.
Who the hell picked? Then again, that's one of those games that's like, what?
Yeah.
Those two teams in London, who cares?
We both took the Chargers.
Oh, we did.
Yeah. We both took Denver. They let us down.
They let us down.
Steelers didn't cover. We both took them.
Talked about why.
And Buffalo lost outright. So, most of those aren't bad losses.
No.
We both got the Vikings right against the Panthers.
I don't trust Carolina right now.
No,
I just don't.
Me either.
I don't trust them. And I think, Minnesota was the home team in that game, right?
It was in Carolina.
Oh, it was in Carolina.
Yep. You said, "Do I trust Kirk Cousins to do a job?" Probably not, but I'm still going to take them. I was all right, so am I.
Because I trust the Panthers less than I trust the Vikings.
Yeah.
So there's that.
All right. So I never got your pick for Thursday Night Football. Denver and Cleveland, who would you have gone with? Who did you go with?
Denver.
You took Denver?
Yes.
All right.
And I told my barber to take Denver, so if my hair looks bad next week on TV, you know why. Because I might have cost him hundreds of bucks.
You know what? I took Cleveland because they're at home on Thursday Night Football.
At home on Thursday Night Football. Normally, I would go the same
and
way.
It's like the same thing with the Steelers and the Seahawks game. With Geno Smith at quarterback, everyone's like, "Oh, take the Steelers, take the Steelers." Cleveland could still win the game. But we'll see.
All right, fair enough.
All right, moving to Sunday's slate. Carolina at the New York Giants. Giants are +3 at home. Remember you just said you don't trust Carolina?
I don't.
How much do you not trust them compared to the Giants?
who's playing in that game for Carolina. That's what I'm looking for. Mm. It looks like most of the important guys outside of... Is Saquon Barkley playing? I don't think he's playing.
I don't think so. He's out for a couple of weeks.
He's out for a couple of weeks. No Kenny Golladay.
Is McCaffrey playing?
I don't think Christian McCaffrey's playing. I think he's out for a little bit longer.
We should just pick a tie.
Oh, Lord. Actually, I don't see McCaffrey's injury report. This is on IR. I don't remember if he's on injury report. But it's...
Start with a hard hitter. This is a bad game.
Giants at home, because I don't trust the Panthers, and the Giants are at home. And their quarterback is playing.
Wow. You're going with the Giants. No, I don't blame you.
Devontae Booker is going to play running back, so it's not like it's they don't have any options. But granted, they're banked up at receiver, too. I don't trust the Panthers. So.
I'm going to go here. I don't think I can ever pick the Giants again.
Me neither. As much as I just said how this league is terrible. Then again, you got two teams that are terrible. So whatever.
All right, moving on. Washington football team at the Green Bay Packers. Packers minus 7.5.
Are we saying this together?
1, 2, 3. Packers. Yeah.
I like it when it's easy.
I think a lot of these are going to be. If we played cool game and not cool game, we'll call it something different when we're doing this. None of these are going to be cool games for a while.
Agreed.
Atlanta at Miami. Miami plus 2.5. You tuning into this one? I'm not.
No.
Nope.
Oh, my God. Atlanta by default because they actually have a quarterback.
I mean, Tua's back.
It seems like they don't even trust Tua. Yeah.
Matt Atlanta. Yeah, you're going Atlanta.
And you said it's what, 2.5?
It is 2.5.
Yeah.
Falcons minus 2.5. I am going to take Miami at home.
Wow. Their defense is good enough to give Atlanta Atlanta problems. I'll give you that.
I think Jalen Waddle could have another good week.
He could.
Maybe Atlanta wins by like a point.
I managed to win despite having him on my bench, which is crazy in fantasy football.
Wow.
That's the point.
Here's a cool game, or a good game. We'll call it a good game. Cincinnati at Baltimore, the Ravens minus 6.5.
Cincinnati.
I am right there with you. I like the Bengals and the points.
I am sticking with two major things. One, Cincinnati's offense is way better than we give it credit for. And two, the Ravens should be a 2-4 team.
Yeah.
At the very best, they should be 3-3.
Okay. You agree that'll be a good game to watch?
It'll be a good game to watch. Yeah. Yeah.
That'll probably be the CBS game we get in Pittsburgh.
It should be.
The Jets are at the Patriots. Last time these two teams played, the Patriots blew the Jets out in New Jersey. This time it's in Foxborough. The Patriots are minus 7. Where are you going with this one?
It's got to be New England, right? Coming off that loss to Dallas.
I think they cover the 7. It's a lot of points for that offense.
It's the Jets.
Yeah, it is the Jets.
It's the Jets.
I'm going New England as well. It's by default. Neither of these teams are good, but the Patriots should be better.
Belichick will coach themselves into a 7-point cover.
He should.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, he should. Yeah. All right, I'd consider this a good game. Kansas City at Tennessee, Titans plus 4.5.
Tennessee covered the 4.5.
I'm right there with you. I do not trust Kansas City to stop Derrick Henry.
Their defense is a sieve.
Yep.
It's an absolute sieve.
It's bad. All right.
Could you imagine if this is the game that knocks Kansas City like even more out of focus? They're already 3-3.
I think it will be the game that knocks them out of focus. Because I think the Titans are winning this game outright.
Agreed.
It's in Tennessee.
Agreed.
And the Chiefs aren't stopping Derrick Henry.
They're not.
All right, here's a fun one. Big spread alert. Detroit Lions at the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams minus 16.
My God.
Stafford versus his old team, Goff versus his old team.
In L.A.?
Who you trusting? Yeah,
in
it's,
L.A.?
It's in L.A.
Oh, Rams.
And the 16 points.
And the 16 points. Provided that enough Lions players don't chew off all the Rams players' kneecaps, the Rams should cover. That's the only exception I'm having for the Rams not to cover is that the Rams run out of kneecaps and can't run and score.
I'm kind of mad when that story came out we didn't play as a thing.
We should have played as a thing. My God.
I'm going to take the Rams. It's a lot of points, but it's the Lions.
Exactly. Once again, the league is back.
Philadelphia at Las Vegas. The Raiders. Wow, way to talk. The Raiders minus -3.
Vegas.
Yep.
I'll go Vegas.
I'll go Vegas, too.
They seem to have some semblance of like calm and order. So even despite their coach quitting. But yeah.
Maybe it was what they needed.
Possibly. And the Eagles can't be trusted. So yeah, Raiders.
Yeah, all right. Another big spread alert. Man, this 4 o'clock slate is so bad. Houston at Arizona. The Cardinals minus 17.5.
Oh, the Cardinals. Absolutely. That could be a 3-touchdown. You saw what Indianapolis did to Houston.
I did.
In Houston.
I did.
What do you think the Cardinals will do in Arizona?
That might be my play of the week, and that's 17.5 points, but I think they cover easily.
Indy beat them on the road by 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Indy is what? 3-win team?
2.
A two-win team beat them by 4 touchdowns?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cardinals right. Coming.
And it's DeAndre Hopkins against his former team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Davis Mills against that defense.
Oh, dear
Captain
God.
Neck.
Oh.
All right. Sticking with the 4 o'clock slate. Oh, I really don't think I'm watching any of these games.
No.
Chicago at Tampa Bay. This is the game of the week. Tampa Bay minus 12.5.
Bucks win, but Bears cover.
Really?
You were the one that brought up Tom Brady covering big spreads recently.
That was in prime time, though.
That was in prime time. Fair.
He's 0 for his last 11 in prime time, but this ain't prime time.
No, but he's also not facing Andy Dalton. Justin Fields is going to start that game.
Yeah, yeah.
Bears will make it interesting. They may lose by 10. It's hard to see him losing by 13.
All right, I'm taking Tampa in the points.
Fair.
Sunday Night Football, another doozy.
Oh dear God.
This is such a bad week. Indianapolis at San Francisco, 49ers minus -4.
Indy.
I like it.
Who's going to play for San Francisco?
Yeah, what are they down to? Their third-string quarterback now?
I think they said there's a chance Jimmy G could play.
No Trey Lance.
But no Trey Lance. G's off for, he's off for 3 weeks. It looks like Jimmy G might be available. But Indy. They're a 2-win team that could be a 3- or 4-win team.
Yeah, I think Jonathan Taylor will continue to do what he's been doing and the last couple of weeks.
I think he's the guy that can make that offense good, just good enough to beat San Francisco, even on the road.
Yep, I'm with you. I'll take the Colts and the points as well. Wrapping it up with Monday Night Football, another Disney. This is so bad. New Orleans at Seattle. I got to double check this, but I'm pretty sure it is New Orleans minus -4.5.
Are we saying this one together?
It is New Orleans minus -4.5.
Are
All
we
right.
saying this one together?
On 3, 2, 1. Saints.
We don't even need to go into why.
Josh, this might be like one of the worst weeks of the NFL slate I've ever seen.
I wouldn't disagree with you. I wouldn't argue.
And I'll have people arguing me, we should be thankful we're watching football at all.
No.
This is a horrible week.
Maybe Saturday we should be thankful we're watching football.
I mean,
because those games will be interesting. These will not.
I mean, this is so bad.
You know it's bad when I'm excited to watch Pitt Clemson over all this. And that's nothing against Pitt or Clemson. But Pitt Clemson is the game I'm looking forward to watching the most this weekend.
Me too.
What does that tell you?
I'm looking forward to watching the NBA or baseball playoffs over these games. This is horrible.
That's all I'm saying.
The 1 o'clock slate, we're going to watch the Bengals and the Ravens and maybe Kansas City and Tennessee.
That's about it. That's it.
I'm not watching Carolina and the Giants.
No.
I'm not watching Washington and the Packers.
No.
I'm not watching Atlanta and the Dolphins.
Hell no.
Not watching the Jets and the Patriots, unless it's like 31-0 and it's good for a laugh.
Maybe.
I'm not watching the Rams and the Lions unless it's like 42-0 and it's good for a laugh.
Maybe.
I'll check it on my phone, but I'm not going to watch it.
There's going to be some stupid play that happens, too.
I'm not watching Philly and Las Vegas.
No.
Arizona and Houston just for a laugh. I'll look at the score.
I'll want to see what Kyler Murray did.
Yeah, yeah. That'll but I'm not going to actually sit down and watch it.
No.
Chicago and Tampa Bay, that doesn't excite me. That's their game of the week.
I'm curious to see Justin Fields, but that's about it.
What, Sunday Night Football, Indianapolis and San Francisco?
Oh, no, no.
Gross.
No.
And Monday Night Football, New Orleans and Seattle. Gross.
No.
Nope.
No.
Horrible week. Horrible.
Jameis and Geno Smith. Oh, God. No. No. I've never ended a show on such a sad note.
But it's really bad.
Oh, my God. It's terrible. All
go,
right.
Go watch something else this weekend. Do some yard work.
Baseball playoffs will be on, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watch the
Watch the
CS or the World Series, if that's where we're at. But it's bad.
It's bad.
All right. Well, that was Hot Sheet.
That was Hot Sheet, and that was episode 30 of the Sunday Morning Grab podcast. If you feel depressed as depressed as we do, we apologize. It's just, we tried to tell you, this league's terrible.
At least you can maybe make money, though, from how bad these matchups
Let's
are.
Let's hope so, man. Get some of these favorites, at least on the money line, and cash in on it. That's all I'm saying.
Put a nice parlay together.
Absolutely. In the meantime, we will see you next week. For Greg Finley, I'm Josh Taylor. We're out.